Great job, guys. All right, thank you. Take your Bibles. Thank you. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, you guys are great. Thank you. Turn to Nehemiah, please, chapter number 4. Nehemiah, chapter number 4. It's been a great service, and be seated and take your Bibles. Turn to Nehemiah, chapter 4. Man, are they this enthusiastic at work? That's what I want to know. Nehemiah, chapter number 4. All right. Excellent. Good, good. Youthful enthusiasm. And anything else? Is there anything else that needs to be said? But Nehemiah chapter number 4. Let's look in the Bible, please. Great to be here. Co-workers, we are honored that you would take the time out of your day to be with us today in chapel. And thank you for putting up with these crazy students at work, but we're honored that you would be here. We hope that you enjoy yourself and hope you have a great chapel service. Nehemiah chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 6, and this morning, I'm going to preach differently than normal. Normally, you know, I like to find a passage and work through that passage and all of that. But really, when Pastor asked me to step in here today and told me it was Coworker Appreciation Day, I began to think about being a college student here, and I began to think about all the people that I worked with. And there were dozens, several that were students with me, and we worked together at a place called USF Distribution Trucking Company, and then several that were just there at the trucking company. We worked together, and really, I got kind of nostalgic remembering those days years ago, and we spent, but the whole time I was in college, we worked together at that place, and so I just want to give you some thoughts about work and some thoughts about my coworkers, and call it a day. But Nehemiah chapter number 4, one of the great building projects was done when they rebuilt the walls in Jerusalem. And it took teamwork. It couldn't be one person or two people. Nehemiah often gets the credit, but we know that there were hundreds of people involved in completing this project. In chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The people had a mind to work. Like I said, when Pastor asked me to speak today, I thought of the place where I worked as a college student. I thought of USF Distribution and a little trucking company. It's no longer in business. It was bought out by several other companies through the years, but it was in Bolingbrook, Illinois, and I would show up there Monday through Friday with my coworkers. We worked second shift, and so we worked, we would punch in at 5 o'clock, and we would punch out at 1:30 in the morning, Christmas time, because the freight was heavy. 1:30 could be 2:30 or 3:30 or 4:30, but I thought of that place. I thought of the people that I worked with, the coworkers. I thought of people like some of my best friends in the world, Andy and Ted Dahl. They're brothers. And both of these brothers, we met at work. We met at USF. We all came for college, but they came from Wisconsin. I'm from the south side of Chicago. And they both diehard Green Bay Packer fans. Andy, a diligent worker. Andy, not a lazy bone in his body. He is so argumentative. And you don't want to argue with Andy because he makes it his life mission. And we spent many a time at work when we should have been moving freight. We spent many a moment just arguing. And he makes it his life's mission to just bury you with facts and statistics and reason. And the whole time with a big smile on his face. He's one of these guys that just has a big smile. But he wants to crush your very soul. And his brother Ted, man, Ted's full of life and always ready to tell a joke and play a prank on somebody. Ted was a passionate person, full of compassion. We would dream together about what we wanted to do for God when we were finished with college. And boy, I thought about Andy and Ted, my coworkers. I thought of Brian Fisher. Brian grew up in Chicago, and we went to camp together as teenagers, and he's the one that got me the job at USF Distribution. The most laid back guy you've ever met. Just totally laid back. He'd sit there, and no matter what was going on around him, and people from he's in New Jersey now, pastoring a church, but people that remembered him or that know him, even to this day, listen, the world could be collapsing, and Brian Fisher would be like, "Yo, what's going on?" I mean, just laid back. I remember, nothing could rattle him. I remember the night that he punched out. He was older than me. He was a senior and I was a freshman. And he was getting married. And he punched out on a Thursday. And for the last time he punched out, he was going to go to the wedding rehearsal on Friday and get married on Saturday. And he punched out. And I remember when he punched out and he left USF, all of the men, all the guys, all of them that we worked with, they all lined like the hallway and he went running out to go get married. And they were giving him high fives and all of that. I remember those guys cheering for him. And hey, Brian had a testimony at work. He had a testimony of a man who did things the right way. And I just remember that moment with Brian. I remember Mike. Mike was the most talented young preacher I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Mike came from West Virginia. He could sing. He could preach. He was funny. He was the man. And we did not understand him. I mean, Mike from West Virginia, and here we are in Chicago. I'm born and raised in Chicago. And this guy, he just had a different way of looking at life. And I remembered not only the place where I worked and the people that I worked with. Life's taken all of us to different places. And that was 28 years ago. And all of us don't work together anymore necessarily. But to this day, to this very day, that bond that was formed in those 4 years of college and working together. Some of those men I talk to every day. A couple of them I talk to today. Some I haven't talked to in years. But to this very day, I would count them as my friends. And if my phone rang, I would do everything in my power to help them. And I know that they would do the same for me. Why? Because for 4 years, we built a wall together. For 4 years, we labored together. We were co-workers. And so I want to preach for a few minutes on this thought. Some things that happened while I was working. Some things that took place while I was working at USF. It was a distribution company, and so different vendors would bring their freight in, and it was our job there to break it down and to send it out locally. And that was our job, and that happened every night. Every night, we worked the Jewel Osco account, and every night, we would break down that freight from Jewel Osco, and we would send it off to all the local stores, and every night, we would have the Foot Locker account and different accounts that would come in, and that work took place every night, but there were some other things that happened while I was working, and I want to share just a few of those with you. Let's pray, and we'll get into it. Father, I pray that you would bless this message. Lord, thank you for the hardworking students of Hiles Anderson College. May it always be so. Lord, for these co-workers that have come today, just I pray that they would feel appreciated because we are grateful. There are places for our students to work and people that they can work with. And I pray that they would enjoy the gift of the New Testament that was given to them and just give them good work days. Bless this chapel service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some things that happened while I was working. Quickly, number one, while I was working, my coworkers became my friends. While I was working, my coworkers became my friends. One way to get a friend is to join together in the same work. In most cases, people who never would have connected outside of work, and people with different backgrounds and different stories in life, and maybe on their own, they never would have found that friendship. But when you put them in the same environment, in the same building, when you put them on the same loading docks like we had at USF, all of a sudden these different people come together, whether it be at McDonald's or moving freight or even in the ministry. When you immerse yourself in a job and a task, you find a brotherhood in those who are working right next to you. And that happened. While I was working, my co-workers became my friends. In some cases, I talked to them every single day. In some cases, it was 28 years ago that we punched the clock at 5 o'clock at USF distribution. But in some of these cases, we talk every day. We've walked through life together. They've become my friends. We were in each other's weddings. We called each other when our children were born. When the moving truck came, we loaded the furniture up and down the apartment stairs and said our goodbyes as some moved off to Illinois and others to New Jersey and others to Wisconsin and serving God. We prayed for each other. My co-workers became my friends. We dreamed about doing something for God. We wept when loved ones passed away. The very first people in life that I called were my friends from USF distribution when my sister passed away unexpectedly. They called me when their father passed away, and we've attended funerals together. We've had questions about life or God. We went to each other. You see, while I was working, my co-workers became my friends. And students, let me tell you something. The people that you're working with, they're not just people that are there. God has placed you there. And God wants you to be a friend to those co-workers. And it certainly happened with me, and I hope it happens with you while I was working number two. There's just no other way to put this. While I was working, my co-workers became my friends. But while I was working, we had a lot of fun. Hey, I hope as a Hiles Anderson College student, you can have some fun at work and be normal, all right? And we know you're not normal, but just act normal and loosen up a little bit and have a good time, all right? I remember one time, now listen, I've got some stories written down here. Trust me when I say that most of them just can never be uttered from behind the pulpit, but I remember it was the middle of the night. It was a break at work. And there was one guy at work that would always fall asleep on his forklift. He would take that break and he would fall asleep. And so Ted Dahl and I decided, for whatever reason, just being idiots, we decided, you know what? We're gonna surprise this guy. And we had the shrink wrap, you know? And so we just shrink wrapped him and inside of his forklift, and we just went around probably 5,000 times with that. And when the horn rang, and this guy was older, he was like in his 60s, and when the horn rang and it was time to wake up, he woke up and he was in like that prison, and he almost had a heart attack and we almost got fired. But hey, we had a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun. I remember we would send new college students. And if you work, I think we've got a trucking guy here. You understand this, but there were like 100 doors, you know, 100 dock doors. And when a new college student would come in, a freshman, we would say, hey, we need you to go to door 50. Door 50. There's some freight in there. You need to get in door 50. You know, okay. He'd go to door 50. And waiting for him in door 50 was not freight. When he would open up that door, it was Ted Dahl. Now, Ted Dahl's a big guy. He's a strong guy. And he would grab, and he's got a wild look in his eyes. He would grab a hold of that freshman, and he would say, get over here. And he would pull him in, and the door would close. And all of a sudden, that kid would be getting slammed around. And couldn't do it today, you know, too much risk. But we did it then, hey, while we were working, we had fun. I remember there was a guy named Jerry. And every Friday night at USF, everybody would chip in and we would get pizza. And we bought pizza and everybody chipped in. But Jerry never chipped in. He would never chip in, but he would always eat the pizza. And man, it bothered us. And we would ask him, hey, man, you want to chip in? No, no, I'm good. And then he would come. He would always steal a piece of pizza or two. Well, we're sitting there. We had asked Jerry, do you want to chip in? He said no. And so the pizza comes, and we had this little short, older Spanish guy that had worked at USF for a lifetime. And when Jerry walked into the break room, Gil was his name. Gil reached into his front pocket, and he pulled out these peppers that were dried, and they were like hot peppers, like the hottest peppers known to mankind. And he peeled open like a piece of the cheese of the pizza, and he stuck those peppers in there. And he looked at me and Andy and Ted, and he said, we're going to give this to Jerry. And I was like, Gil, I didn't know you had it in you. But Jerry came out of the break room. He came into the break room, and he started by the pizza, and Gil said, do you want a piece? And Jerry said, yes. And I took the pizza, and I turned it, and I said, here you go, brother. And he took it, and he ate it. And after a few seconds, man, his eyes got big. He started to sweat. He ran into the bathroom. I don't know what happened in there, but when he came out, he thought I did the whole thing. And Gil just laughed, and, you know, there was issues. But while we were working, my coworkers became my friends. While we were working, we had a lot of fun. Number three, while we were working, we influenced people for God. While we were working. We had ministries on the weekend. I worked in the bus route, and Andy and Ted worked in the sailor ministry, and Mike kind of jumped around from ministry to ministry. But regardless, while we were working, we had ministries on the weekend, but while we were working, Monday through Friday, we influenced people for God. You see, friend, God put you, wherever you're working, God put you there. And God puts you there with the very people, some that are in this room and some that aren't in this room, but it's no accident in God's mind. He has put you there not just to make some money, not just to punch a clock, not just to pay a school bill, but God, I believe with all of my heart, has put you there so you could be an influence for God. There was a guy we worked with named Darren. Darren was a great guy, but he made fun of us. He made fun of us so much. I mean, just the way we lived, you know. We didn't go to the clubs on Friday. We didn't do all that stuff. And he respected us, but boy, he made fun of us. He was always laughing, you know, trying to get us to join in on something crazy. And we never would, but Darren made fun of us so much. I remember Darren came to me once, and I was expecting him to, you know, poke at me a little bit. And when he came, and he was growing, I was like 18 years old, and I'm working with this guy. He was probably 30, 35. And I remember when Darren came to me, and he said, hey, can we talk? And I said, yeah, let's talk. And we went to the locker room there, and Darren dropped his head, and he began to cry. I said, man, what is it? And he looked up at me, and he said, my mom is the only person in the world that I have. She has diabetes, and she's in the hospital, and she's in a coma. He said, I know I make fun of you, he said, and you know I'm just kidding, right? I said, I know you're kidding. He said, would you pray over my mom? Would you pray for my mom? I said, Darren, I'd be honored. I'd be honored to pray for your mom. And I can remember making my way to the hospital there, downtown Chicago, and walking into that hospital room, and there he was, and there she was, and she never was conscious, and I never was able to talk with her, and she was in that coma, but I remember praying over her, and in just a few moments, looking at Darren and saying, Darren, can I show you something? And he said, yes, and opening up my Bible, and in that hospital room, showing Darren how he could know for sure that he'd have a home in heaven, and boy, that guy bowed his head and closed his eyes, and he prayed, and he trusted Christ. You see, God didn't just put me there to move freight. He put me there to influence people for God, and he's put you there for the same reason. I remember we had a guy we worked with named Rich. Rich was a mess. He was a mess. He didn't really like myself or Ted, but for whatever reason, he loved Andy. Loved him. And Andy was the meanest one out of all of us, but Rich loved him. And his life was a mess. He was always doing goofy things. But I remember Andy more than once sitting him down and saying, Rich, you're a disaster. And you need to do this and this and this, and praying with them. He put us there to have an to influence people for God. Ted would always try to help another coworker, especially a college student that wasn't doing right. Boy, Ted made it his mission to put an arm around that guy and to help him get through school and to help him get his testimony back. And hey, while we were working, my coworkers became my friends, and we had a lot of fun, and we influenced people for God. And while we were working, the wall was eventually finished. See, we just read one of the greatest miracles, how in 52 days this massive wall was completed. The job was done. Those who would swing a hammer next to each other found themselves one day not swinging a hammer next to each other. The wall was finished. The wall was completed. The work was over. Time slipped away. And the day came where I looked at Gil for the last time. I looked at Jerry for the last time. And I looked at Little Vic, we called him. He was a Cowboys fan and he drove us crazy. But I looked at Little Vic and for the last time. And we punched the clock for the last time, and the wall was finished and time slipped away while I was working. You've heard me tell the story before of our third shift boss. His name was Big Vic. He knew that dock like the back of his hand. He was a great boss, but he was an intimidating guy. Everybody was scared to death of Big Vic. I mean, he just knew freight. He knew Chicago. He knew trucking, and he was working with us. We were just kids at the time. I didn't think of it like that, but the truth of the matter was we were just kids, and Vic would come in at that third shift, and he always had a clipboard and a cup of coffee that he would balance perfectly on that clipboard. And he would walk with a certain strut, and somehow I always waited for the coffee to spill. It never did. But he would walk around and he could just take one pass through that dock, and he knew, like off the top of his head, where every truck was located, what was in the truck, when it needed to leave. He didn't need a computer. He didn't need any of that stuff. He just knew. And he would boss people around, and he had a certain Chicago way of talking, and people were scared to death of Vic. For whatever reason, Vic liked me. He kind of took to me. And he'd say, hey, Chicago, he'd call me. Or he'd say, he had all kinds of things that he would call me, but we would, we became friends. He would invite me and Andy and Ted to play basketball with him on Saturday. We would go to a park in Hodgkins, Illinois, and we would play basketball there. And boy, I just remember Big Vic. He was older, and so he couldn't really play basketball anymore, but he still liked to get out there and run around. And now all he could do was play brutal defense and foul you and elbow you. And he was that kind of a guy. And I remember it was third shift, and Andy and Ted had gone home. It was Christmas time. They had gone home for break. And I remember Andy looking at me very specifically and saying, if any of us is ever going to win Big Vic to Jesus, Abdel, it's going to be you. He likes you. I don't know why he likes you, but he does. You're going to be the one to win him to Christ. We never did witness to him. I would always pray for the perfect time, you know. It was Christmas time, all my friends went back home, and I was still there on the truck dock, and because of the Christmas rush, Big Vic and his third shift crew came in and took some extra hours, and I remember Big Vic walking in while I was walking out, and he said, hey, Judah, he said, why don't you come with me? We'll go outside. We'll do the yard check. All the semi-trucks would park in the yard, and he would go through and he would check them all just to see what was in them and, you know, different things and make a report. And man, it was a brutal job because it was so cold and it was middle of the morning, you know, probably 1 a.m. at that point, and I was tired. And he said, why don't you come with me? And when he said that, Holy Spirit said, hey, this is the time to witness to this. This is the time. But I was so tired. I had bus route to get to. And I just wanted to go home. And I said, Vic, I said, maybe next time. He said, come on, Judah, come on. Soft. That's what he said. He said, you're soft. I said, Vic, man, I'll catch you next time. He said, all right, whatever. And I left and I went on the bus route and went to church on Sunday, came to college on Monday, and I remember that Monday night driving to USF Distribution and going to the clock that was there so I could clock in. And when I went to go clock in, there was a bunch of people around the clock there. They're all talking. I got through the crowd and I grabbed my time card and went to go punch in, and there was a little funeral card there. It said, "In loving memory of Victor Aguirre Garcia." And it dawned on me quickly what had happened. Big Vic did the yard check that night. And he did all of that, and he worked at USF that night. And he went home, and he sat on his lazy boy chair. When he sat on his lazy boy chair, he put on ESPN. He had a massive heart attack. None of us saw it coming. We never would have thought it. Big Vic slipped into eternity that day. And I remember seeing that and it dawning on me. Man, I could have gone with him to do that yard check, and I could have talked to him, and I could have told him about the Lord, and I could have told him about heaven and hell. And I remember I couldn't even punch in. I couldn't even punch in. I just got in my car and I went back home, and I called up my friend Andy, and I said, "Andy, it's Abdel." And he was enjoying his Christmas break. And I said, "Andy," I said, "man, you're not going to believe it." He said, "What?" I said, "Andy, did you ever witness the Big Vic?" He said, "No, no." He said, "He hated me." He said, "You were going to witness the Big Vic." I said, "Andy, Vic passed away." I was crying the other end of the phone. I said, "He passed away, man. He's gone. He is gone." And I told him what I had heard. Now I saw that card and the story that I had heard. And I do remember saying, and I'm not trying to get too personal, but I do remember saying, "Man, it's my fault, and I should have talked to him, and God wanted me to talk to him, and I didn't. I was so tired. Andy, you know how it is." And Andy saying, "Abdel, that's not your fault, and don't beat yourself up, and you never know." And I mean, he tried to be a friend, but I remember that. I remember the day that it stopped. The last time I saw Big Vic, there was another young man. His name was Caesar. Caesar and Andy and Ted had a unique relationship. He would follow those guys around, and he was a short little guy. He would follow those guys around, just make fun of them and laugh. And it was just, I really can't get into all of it, but he was good. And Caesar, probably not 20 years old, tragically passed away in a car accident. I remember when Andy and Ted heard that, or those tears that I was shedding for Big Vic, they were shedding for Caesar. They never did talk to him. I remember the three of us going to Caesar's funeral, the Catholic funeral there in Chicago somewhere, and sitting through that funeral and watching it and knowing that seeing Caesar's mom, who we had never met, and his girlfriend that we had never met, and the little baby that he had that he would always talk about, but we never met him. We never knew, we never met the baby, and seeing all of them weep and cry. And I remember the impact and watching my friends Andy and Ted just cry through that service. You see, while I was working, my coworkers became my friends. While I was working, we had a lot of fun. Man, we had a lot of fun. If you knew half of it, I probably wouldn't be standing here right now, but we had a lot of fun. While I was working, we influenced people for God. While I was working, eventually the wall was built. The work stopped. We went our separate ways. I was thinking about this message and just some of these simple thoughts. And I began to think of Gil and Jerry and Vic and Caesar. Some of those men that I worked with on that trucking dock. And if I could go back 28 years ago and look in their eyes and say one thing to them, I know exactly what I would say to them. I know exactly. All the jokes we told, all the fun we had, all the inside jokes, all of that, all the arguments, all the debates. If I could go back 28 years ago and say, "Hey guys, can I tell you one thing?" Man, I know what I would say. And by the way, we did say it. I thank God we did say it to many of our coworkers. There were some that didn't hear it. If I could sit them down, I would look at them and I would say to them some simple truth. I would say, "Guys, I want you to know, number one, that God loves you. And I know we've talked about a lot of things at work, and I know we've talked about life, and we've complained together, and we've done all sorts of things, but I want you to know, if we never talk again, God loves you. I would look at the eyes of Gil and Vic and Jerry and some of the others, Ray, my boss, and I would look in their eyes, and I would not only say, God loves you, but I would say to them, I would say, hey, sin has separated you from God. By the way, we worked together. They knew I was a sinner and I knew they were a sinner. We worked together. I didn't have to, you know, convince them of that. And I would say, guys, your sin has separated you from the God that loves you. I would look in their eyes and I would say, Jesus Christ died for you. And I know we don't always talk about it. But I would look at them and I would say, you know, I'm in Bible college and you know someday I'm going to be a preacher and you guys all know it and they all knew it. And I would say, I want you to know Jesus Christ died for you. And every picture you ever saw and every cross you ever wore and you saw the Son of God there, that was for you and that was for me. I would want them to know that. Then I would want them to know. Vic, Jerry, Caesar, Darren, and all the rest of them, I would want them to know that he stands at the door and knocks. He is waiting for you to receive him. There's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And when you breathe your last breath on this earth, you'll breathe your next breath in one of those two places. Victor, I love you. Little Vic, I love you. And Jerry, man, I'm sorry about the pizza, but we really do love you. You just needed to chip in a little bit. But I would say, look, man, I don't want you to go to hell. Jesus wants to save you. If I could say one thing to my coworkers, that's what I would say to them. It really is. I would say that. While I was working, my coworkers became my friends. We had a lot of fun. We influenced people for God. But eventually, the wall was finished. We went our separate ways. Hey, none of it is an accident. God has you right at your spot on the wall. Right where you're supposed to be, working with who you're supposed to be working with. And while you take orders, move freight, whatever it is that you do, make sure that you're influencing people for God. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? I want to ask the students this, just the students. Who here would say, Brother Judah, there are some workers that I work with, some men, some women, some co-workers, and they have become my friends. Brother Judah, I want to be a witness for them. Just pray for me. Pray that I can live right and do right, and pray that God would give me an open door, and I want to make a difference for God in their lives. Pray for me. If that's you, and you're thinking of somebody specifically, would you lift your hand and let me see it? Would you lift it up good and high? Boy, that's so many students. So many. Thank you. Hey, maybe you're here and it's Coworker Appreciation Day and you're a coworker. You work at Chipotle or McDonald's or the trucking company or wherever, the daycare, wherever. You've heard this message. You say, Brother Jude, I'm sitting here and I heard that message and I want to have a relationship with God. I want that. I know that I'm a sinner and I believe in God. And I believe in His Son, Jesus. And if He'll save me, I want to be saved. God doesn't ask you to be perfect. He doesn't ask any of those things. And you could never be good enough to get to heaven. And you could never work your way to heaven. You could never buy your way into heaven. And you could never turn over enough leaves to be accepted into heaven. No, friend, no. You must believe that there's a real heaven and a real hell. And that God is real. And His Son, Jesus, died on an old rugged cross. Not just for me, but for you. And that He wants to save you. If you're a coworker today, or anybody in the room, frankly, you say, Brother Jude, I want a relationship with God. I do want one. Pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I won't stand you. None of that will happen. But in my heart, I'll pray for you. If you're sitting here and you're like that, would you lift your hand up? Nobody's looking. Say, Brother Judah, I'm here and I want a relationship with you. I see that hand and that hand. Good, good. Anyone else? I see those hands. You can put your hands down once you've slipped it up. I'm going to ask everybody to stand to their feet. If you're a coworker and you raised your hand, you could probably talk to the person that brought you about having a relationship with God. They would love to take the time right now and to show you what the Bible says about getting to heaven. And if you're just sitting here today and you thought you came here to come to college and to go serve God someday, and you did, but you've got a ministry right now where you're working. And if you just want to come and pray for your coworkers and pray for your friends, while the music plays, you come now and pray for them. While I was working, if you're here and you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, boy, we would love to show you how to have a relationship with Jesus, and we will right now. You can know that. Some are being talked to right now, and I would imagine all you'd have to do is just look at the person that invited you and said, "Could you show me that?" And they would. They'd love to. Maybe they already have. But let's not waste the time that God has given us. Ministry's not just on Saturday and Sunday. Man, it is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. With the people that we rub shoulders with and work with. And I want to be a good influence. I want to be the right kind of Christian. I hope you do too. More than freight was moved while we were working. I hope that happens for you. Several are still praying, and we'll respect them and give them time to do that.